Yeah, we're going to be getting it on, all right. What's good, everybody? Mike Sempervivi here with you once again. It is the original Wrestling Observer Live. It's here. It's here. The long WrestleMania weekend is finally upon us. Talked about it for a while, but now officially Thursday, it begins. If you are listening live to this show right now, when it ends, that's when the action begins in New Orleans. Actually, the action never ends in New Orleans. But as far as the wrestling, okay, as far as the official wrestling on canvas mats for official companies, that's all going to be starting officially at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Central. Matt Riddle's Bloodsport 2 in Kenner, Louisiana. The first of eight major events today, if you include the Wally Mania, as you should, and Paul Heyman Q&A. But the first of six pure wrestling events, also including access in there with all the matches that will be taking place. I'm interested to hear what you're going to be listening to and watching today, if anything. Do you wait till the weekend? Are you all about Bloodsport now that it has been announced? Low-key out. Minoru Suzuki in against Matt Riddle. Boss man Brian Alvarez, as you know, not here. Dave Meltzer not going to be here either. Why? Because they're en route to New Orleans. So they're not going to be here today. As a result, I'll be putting producer Dom to work. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. On Twitter, we're always here as well, at SemperVivi, at Brian Alvarez, at SportsBylineUSA, and, of course, at WONF4W. It's your home for all the news and information in the world of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And there's certainly going to be a little bit of that over this weekend. We haven't even this week touched on, and we're probably not going to do it today, but the UFC show that's going to be coming up. And Tony Ferguson blowing out his LCL, pivoting to talk to a friend. We'll probably be talking more about that on Saturday, but it's just a plethora of things taking place. And Hangman Adam Page, who's going to be coming up. Yeah, we're back. Mike Sempervivi here. Brian Alvarez not here. He's going to North Carolina. He's going to New Orleans is where he's going. I might be going to North Carolina. I'm fired up. I really am fired up. I am incredibly happy. It is Wrestling Observer Live. It is WrestleMania weekend, and it all begins. Let's see. Oh, about, 48 minutes from now. Matt Riddle's Bloodsport. Matt Riddle against Minoru Suzuki, who I know there's some of you in England right now going, old hat, we saw this for Rev Pro. We're just going to forget about that right now. That never happened. That's like Hogan and Andre at Shea Stadium. Right now is WrestleMania 3 in Detroit. Never happened. Forget about all that. It's going to be awesome. Walter and Filthy Tom Lawler. No ropes. KO or submission only. Tom Lawler going into this, injured. He's saying he's not injured. He's saying, much like Dusty Rhodes, the arm is bionic. But he did break it. And you know Walter's going to lead him into a chop battle. And you know Filthy Tom is too thick-headed to think of something else. No, he's going to get into that battle with him. Will he be able to survive? All of this on WWNLive.com, which is not a free advertisement for WWN Live. It's just the fact that that's how you're going to be able to see most of the shows coming up here over WrestleMania weekend, either that or going through the Fight app. But all that information on how to see all of these shows coming up is up at WrestlingObserver.com. If you don't already, you may want to bookmark that page for the next couple of days and follow the Twitter at WONF4W. Dave and Brian are down in New Orleans. Almost everybody else is. I am here. I'm going to be holding down the fort. Me and producer Dom. Possibly Josh Nason. Possibly some other surprises as well, too. Got Hangman Adam Page coming up later on in the show today. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. We'll get right to the phones right now. Jim in Virginia. Jim, how are you?
Hey, how you doing today, Mike? Let me ask you a quick question. What happened with Johnny Valiant yesterday? I heard he got run over, what happened there?
Well, here, you know what? I'll read the story from off the site. Yeah, really, really sad situation. Mm-hmm. Luscious Johnny Valiant, His real name, Tommy Sullivan, died after he was struck by a truck on Wednesday morning. He was 71 years old. He was going across a busy road in Pennsylvania where he lived, around where he lived, and he was between two crosswalks. There were crosswalks that were close to him on both sides. He did not go through the crosswalk. He ran across the street and was struck by a truck. The police are just looking at it as it was a terrible accident, no malice involved at all or anything like that, but a really sad situation because he was a name that if you were, you know, if you were in Indiana with the Bruisers territory down there, or obviously if you were in back in the day with the WWF throughout the 70s and into the 80s right. and into the boom period where he managed Dino Bravo and Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake, you know, he was a fixture, and he was just one of those names that you always knew. So, yeah, really sad situation there, unfortunately, for Luscious Johnny V, who really did have a fruitful career and was able to keep himself busy and in the eye, even though it was on a much smaller scale, on a much more of a community-based scale. But he kept his name out there. He kept entertaining, and he kept, you know, he just basically kept himself positive and going. He was, to me, he was one of those stories when I would hear about him, it always seemed to be, I don't know, it was like his finances or anything, but it was one of those ones where all this negativity he got, especially when guys were dropping dead left and right, it was nice to hear, and guys being broke as hell, it was nice to hear about a story about like Johnny V who kept going strong.
Exactly, exactly. Now, the pre-show for WrestleMania, it's going to be on the USA Network, or am I mistaken?
Well, there's going to be a version of it on the USA Network. There's going to be a version that begins at 6 p.m. It's going to go from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m., and I would assume that is when the Women's Royal Rumble, I mean, for sure, that is going to be on that show, with the main show beginning at 7 o'clock, but they're using it as a hype show. I believe they did this last year as well, where the first hour of the or the first of the 2 hours began on the network, and then USA picked it up, and YouTube, I am going to assume the WWE's YouTube channel is going to have the network version of this thing too, that's going to be streaming through there as well.
All right, take care, Mike.
Absolutely, Jim. I appreciate it, buddy. Go back to the phones again. John in Arkansas. John, how are you?
I am well, Mike. Well, actually, I'm probably not well, but I'm doing as good as I can do.
Hey, look, you got up this morning. That's the step one.
Yes, that is true. Rough bout of family news, but other than that, all is good. I'm immersing myself in some wrestling to, you know, distract from bad stuff. And am I correct that this Matt Riddle thing that's upcoming, are the rules for all the matches knockout or submission throughout the whole show?
Yes, they are.
Well, holy crap, man. I feel bad for poor Filthy Tom, knowing exactly what Walter's going to do to his upper pectoral region in this encounter. Also, I feel sorry a little bit for Matt Riddle. I mean, he got sent, you know, nearly 300 feet in the air by Keith Lee here a while back in one of their encounters, and now he's going to go in there with Minoru Suzuki, who's going to stretch him in more different directions than soft taffy on the boardwalk. So, yikes.
Now, is this something you're going to be, are you going to be all in on watching these events through WWN Live, or are you just going to try to get a pick and choose here?
I'm probably going to pick and choose. We'll be visiting my bank here shortly to go and make a withdrawal to purchase some funds to buy some stuff on the Fight app. So I'm definitely excited about this weekend, but my gosh, what is it, like 8 shows throughout this whole weekend?
Hey, there's just 8 shows today, and gentlemen, thank you very much for the call. You'll have to pull the money out, too. We got to get you a card or something. It doesn't matter. Anyway, what matters is, yeah, the shows are going to be nonstop. I mean, there's 8 today alone. Like I said, if you include the Paul Heyman show and you include Wale Mania, There's eight shows. There's Bloodsport that's coming up at 4 o'clock Eastern time. There's Access at 7 Eastern time. There's Wildcat, which is Luke Hawks, who's been on this show before, his promotion down there in New Orleans. That's going to be taking place at 7 o'clock. He's actually using his gym and opening it up to anybody who's down there for WrestleMania, certainly for the wrestlers, and I'm assuming for anybody else, too, who wants to pay. I believe the wrestlers get to use it for free to train down there, but he's opened up his gym for that. Wally Mania is 8 o'clock. Evolve 102 is at 9 o'clock. The Paul Heyman deal is at 10:30. WrestleCon, their super show, is at 10:30. And then Beyond Wrestling, which had a banger of a show last year and has been one of those promotions that, you know, on this show gets a little bit looked over because we talk about things in more general terms many of the times on this show. So it's a lot of WWE, New Japan, and bigger promotions and things like that. But Beyond has been one of those promotions that has crept up. And, I mean, if you are a hardcore wrestling fan, even if you're not a hardcore wrestling fan, I mean, they're starting to really lay their tentacles out and make themselves known as one of the most important independent promotions or smaller promotions in the United States. They're going to be on it at 12:55. So, I mean, that's all just taking place today. And then, you know, we'll go through the shows as this weekend goes on. I'll be here on Friday, obviously, live. And then we're going to go live on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern time as well, too, this weekend, leading into Sunday and WrestleMania. So we'll kind of be running through everything. There are Shimmer shows taking place, Shine shows taking place, Progress, Kaiju, Big Battle, just a ton of stuff going on. So, you know, Brock Lesnar has returned. We haven't even talked about that. I mean, we have just had a huge amount of stuff going on. I'm getting texts flying in right now. We got Hangman Adam Page coming up here in a little bit, and I still want to hear from you. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. We'll be back.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Dancing Queen, this is like if anybody ever saw the movie Dirty Work with Norm Macdonald and Chris Farley. They're at the bar and they hit the jukebox and it's like, all right, we need some fighting music, A3, whatever the hell it was, Street Fighting Man. And then, like, if you like Pina Coladas comes on, like, that's what I was thinking. I get hit with all this news of Conor McGregor and a warrant out for his arrest and him going buck wild. And I thought we were going to have some banging music coming back, but no. It's ABBA's Dancing Queen. But since I've been all tied up here and I am in shock and awe, I needed Josh Nason to come in and let me know what the 411 was going on. Josh, are you there?
I'm here, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. What's up? Because well, I saw a tweet early on this morning from Conor McGregor, and I kind of laughed it off, said, is this guy still here? I guess maybe he saw that and got upset and wanted everybody to know he was still here.
Yeah, so what do you know, or what have you talked about so far?
I have not talked. I've been talking about, like, the excitement of pro wrestling so far, so I have not touched this at all.
All right, so let me riff here for a minute. So earlier today, UFC 223 Media Day happening at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Pretty, you know, usual humdrum affair, as they were. And as the fighters were leaving to get on the van to be transported back to their hotels, Conor McGregor and a rather large crew and entourage showed up backstage. And it's unclear at this point what started this altercation, but there were some words said back and forth between some of the fighters and Conor McGregor's crew. A bike rack was thrown, and that was kind of the minor point of what happened. The guys were getting into the van, and
Wait, not a bike, an entire bike rack was thrown.
Yeah, like a bike rack, and that footage is out there. Felice Herrig was a fighter, posted that on her Instagram. That's the minor point, though. So fighters were getting into the van, and a chair was thrown through the van window, which struck Michael Chiesa. Michael Chiesa is a lightweight who is fighting on the main card of the pay-per-view on Saturday night against Anthony Pettis. He suffered a laceration. It is unclear at this point whether or not he is out for the fight on Saturday. And there is a apparently he's at the local medical facility getting treatment for that. That obviously is not good. But then the van supposedly, I guess, had Khabib Nurmagomedov. There could have been something going on there. So the other thing kind of just developed over the last 10 minutes was that Dana White was talking to reporters. He was called back to the arena, obviously, and he told reporters that the incident, quote-unquote, was the most despicable thing in UFC history, and that a warrant is out for McGregor's arrest, and that he is unable to leave the city via his plane. And Brett Okamoto of ESPN asked Dana White, do you still want to be in the McGregor business? And his reply simply was, would you? And that's where it stands right now. Apparently, some of I'm just kind of reading some other reports. MacLife, which is McGregor's website, is kind of bjpenn.com, Ask Media site.
MacLife.
They apparently let Connor into the arena. Is there a credentialed media? MacLife, which is that. So his writers were there as credentialed media, and they apparently let the McGregor crew in, which helped kind of start this whole thing. So as we stand right now at 3:30 Eastern, there's a warrant out for the most popular fighter in the UFC and possibly the most popular and well-known fighter in the world. He cannot leave New York, and the chase is on, and that's where we stand at this WrestleMania weekend. What a kickoff.
Oh, my. Well, you know what? Sometimes this is what happens when the chickens come home to roost. This is a monster that was created. This was a monster that we all saw being created. And this was a monster that many people have been feeding. And Conor McGregor, like a petulant kid, like a rambunctious kid, doesn't know when to rein it in sometimes. And this is a great, great example of it. And I mean, look, with all of this said about how despicable this is, how trashy it is, and the whole nine yards, I mean, stole the fight game. You know, somebody, Tate Machines on Twitter, said, call me when Connor dropkicks somebody off the car like Larry Holmes. It's not like we have not seen this level of ridiculousness between crews and between people and just from individual fighters happen. Obviously, this is just knee-jerk right now, but short-term, long-term right now, in your mind?
Short-term, long-term, as far as the repercussions
as
go?
As far as how this thing is played, reaction coming out, and basically, is this going to end with a fight at the end or somebody in court?
Well, good question. So it really depends on what the New York Police Department is going to charge McGregor with, if anything. And obviously, if charges are filed from Michael Chiesa, lawsuit potential, you know, if he's out of the fight, I mean, that's obviously not very good for – yeah, it's a big income loss. And again, depending on how long he could be out, it's not a case of – you know, maybe that fight could be on next weekend and all those type of things, depending on how bad this cut is. Obviously, there's the PR aspect of it, which for those inside the bubble, we get this stuff. It's kind of fun to watch and fun to see happen and so on. But, you know, this is a much different UFC than it was 5 years ago when it wasn't owned by a probably soon-to-be publicly traded company. So I think there's those aspects as well to take in the equation, as well as all the stuff that we don't hear behind the scenes that go on with these negotiations with Conor. And perhaps the UFC is just exhausted of dealing with this. Obviously, the question is, okay, where would Conor McGregor go after that? If he was to be obviously outright released, Bellator would sweep him up in half a New York minute. But, you know, it's just there's something. Does he want to be associated with that brand? And, I mean, you're dealing with a guy.
For him. I wonder how we get barnstorming Conor McGregor. At best, at worst, we get out-of-control club scene Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I mean, we tend to forget, and I don't see, it's just funny to say this, is, I mean, he just made $100 million+ on one night, just, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever it was. He doesn't have to work ever again. He didn't have to work ever again before that fight. So it's, you know, and also this guy's a new dad. It's very strange behavior, but look, pro athletes that make big time money, and especially this type of money for the very first time, and we see it as an entertainment across, you know, musicians, actors, all this stuff.
And definitely fighters.
And fighters. There's people go this way, there's people go this way, and there's people go way off that way. And I'm seeing right now that, not a big deal, but Artem Lobov, who's a McGregor teammate who was fighting on the undercard, is now off of UFC 223 instead. So
you're going to see a purging, I would assume, of you. Obviously, if these bootleg ass reporters of Connors, whatever these plugs were that let him into the building. I mean, I could see if anybody that's associated with McGregor, at least short term. I mean, it's like DX style. Like, somebody's going to have to feel the heat on this, and everybody's going to be Triple H, whose name isn't Connor, I assume, when it comes to the UFC. I mean, anybody associated with Connor, I mean, you can't mess with them right now, can you? Especially, and this is another thing, too, and this is like warring factions at hip-hop shows. I mean, or old school UFC events with like the Lion's Den mixing it up with somebody else. I mean, you're going to have crews now all the time crossing up. I mean, if you're part of Khabib's crew and you're part of Connor's crew or associated that way, I mean, I don't see these tensions not, dying down at any point anytime soon.
Right. And that's obviously a major factor as well. I mean, if you think of this last less than 24 hours of UFC, Dana White saying Brock Lesnar's definitely returning. There's a pro wrestling angle there. CM Punk lost in this whole mix is his fight for Chicago is confirmed against Mike Jackson. So that is a go as well. And then this Connor news as well. But yeah, I mean, they try to get out of this era of the early days of UFC and MMA and even with Lucha Libre and so on. We had these warring factions, and it became just basically, I don't want to say gang warfare, but you kind of get the idea. It was unruly, and now
it was crazy. The Lion's Den was out there. I remember it so clearly that like Miguel Perez and the Barrique was attacked them. Then DOA got in there. It was a mess.
Yeah, and this
I might be conflating there.
Yeah, I mean this is so interesting. I mean, we thought McGregor going to fight the winner of Khabib and Holloway coming off of this? I don't know. And of course, we all know what happens is your stars get treated differently, and perhaps something changes. I mean, this is a guy that jumped the cage in a Bellator promotion last year, and supposedly got booted off the end of year December event, which no one believes that one bit. So, I mean, who knows? This could be a case of things are resolved in a couple months and, we have to deal with this stuff all over again and people asking questions. But ultimately, at the end of the day, people are still going to want to pay to see McGregor fight, and his fans are going to be more emboldened than ever, and his detractors are going to be more emboldened than ever. It's kind of like politics in this country, right?
That is true, and he is definitely emboldened, and he's been hopefully he gets a noble spirit to embiggen him along the way as well and try to fix some of this stuff for his own good. And, we're pushing up against it right now. But I mean, and I was like a lot of this I was going to say till Saturday, but I got to throw it out and ask you. I mean, if nothing else, this is going to help Max Holloway because he's the only one who's, there's no pressure on him at all. I mean, it's not like this is really going to help him a lot, but anything else that chinks Khabib's armor right now, I mean, it's got to help, right?
I think Khabib is pretty much unfazed by this. That guy is a machine. If anything, depending on what was said to him, he could be more emboldened to go in there and do his thing. I think he could be.
That's true. I don't think I'd want to piss him off anymore.
No, I wouldn't. I think he's going to be the big winner at this whole thing. Come Sunday morning, I think we're going to be talking a lot about Khabib and how he's the next guy. Probably maybe not the next superstar, but he's the guy that people are going to be like, that's my guy.
Hey, Josh, we ought to do this again in the next couple of days because I don't know if you've heard or not. There are some shows that are taking place.
My God, what a great segue. On our website right now, you can find out all this news about Conor McGregor and all this other stuff going on, as well as a full live streaming guide to every single event you can watch on the internet for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to WrestlingObserver.com right now and check that out and enjoy all the action coming up these next 4 days. And maybe I'll be back to talk to you, Mike. How about that?
It's possible. I don't know if you will be, but I definitely know that the Hangman, Adam Page, is going to be when we get back from break. Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Semper, VV, back here with you. Wrestling Observer Live. I want to thank Josh Nason again. What a day. Thought we were going to be talking about all wrestling, but yes, we had to have Conor McGregor in there. But going to switch it back now. Coming up this Saturday night, Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honor, one of the many events that's taking place this WrestleMania weekend with the biggest show in company history, with one of the coolest matches in company history. It involves my guest right now, Hangman Adam Page facing off against Kota Ibushi. Adam, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And, hey, when's the last time you've been in New Orleans? I was kind of looking to see when the last time you had wrestled down there was, and it was WrestleMania weekend in 2014. Is that the first time you've been down there since then?
Oh, yeah, this is definitely the first time I've been there since then. So, looking forward to coming back. Yeah, I had a good time there. I'm sure I'll have a better time now.
Yeah, I think so. Things have moved pretty darn well for you in your young career so far. And, you know, you thankfully did not come home a bloody mess from Japan a couple days ago. But I'm sure you were probably a little bit banged up. How are you feeling coming into this busy weekend?
You know, I'm feeling surprisingly well. Schedule for the past 2 months has just been ridiculous. You know, there hasn't been any real time off, and the matches I've been having have been, you know, high stakes, high profile matches. So my body's holding up fairly well. I'm pleasantly surprised about that.
Now, I guess, you know, there's so much. You've been involved in so many high-profile things going on as a member of the Bullet Club and with your standing in Ring of Honor and obviously in New Japan. And, you know, I guess we'll touch on New Japan first. You know, you just had two bangers almost back-to-back with Cody against Kenny Omega and Ibushi. And before that in Long Beach with Jay White, I guess I'll take you back to that, the U.S. title match with Jay. You guys, in my opinion, were put in an almost impossible situation being sandwiched in between the matches that you were sandwiched in between. And you knew, you know, I'm sure going in with Jay, who's not necessarily as known here yet, you know, as many of the other established guys were, you know, you guys were facing a daunting task and you ran through it with flying colors. You almost seemed to kill yourself in the process, but what was your mentality going into that match and how do you feel coming out of it?
You know, yeah, you're right that we were in a tough spot, you know, about the toughest spot you could be in, second to last on the card with, you know, all of those New Japan stars before us. And, you know, this is New Japan's second set of shows in the U.S. So, you know, a lot of fans came to see the people that they cannot see in the States. And before us, they had seen nearly all of them. So, yeah, we're put in a tough spot, especially for two guys who were, you know, kind of fairly new to a spotlight. But, you know, those are the spots you want. You want semi-main event. You want main event. And you've got to deliver when the time comes, when you know, finally get those opportunities. So, you know, I'm proud of what we did. We had a heck of a long match, yeah, and I nearly died on a couple of occasions. But, like I said earlier, I'm feeling good still, so I'm happy about it as a whole.
And obviously, you know, for New Japan fans, the big show on April 1st coming out of that with Cody, with Omega and Ibushi. I mean, what is it like? I've been watching Japanese wrestling a long time, and, you know, I've had a chance to see Omega and Ibushi way back in DDT and actually seen how they've risen up, and it's amazing to where they've gotten, and it's amazing to where Cody has gotten after leaving WWE and to where you have gotten in such a young part of your career. What is that like to main event a show like that? I mean, are you just kind of in the moment right now and not really thinking about it? Or do you kind of step back sometimes and look and go, wow, look at where we and where I am at right now?
Yeah, you know, I try occasionally to step back and look at the, you know, the big picture. But honestly, I'm taking things day to day, you know, week to week. I've got, you know, a huge match coming up this weekend, and that's literally all that's on my mind right now. And once this weekend's over, I'm looking forward to the next, and then the next. You know, it's there's so much on our schedules coming up. It's easy to get overwhelmed if you look at the big picture too often. So, you know, I usually take it day by day, week by week.
With the connection now of Ring of Honor and New Japan, and New Japan opening up a dojo in Los Angeles now, this is an interesting time in wrestling. And, you know, sometimes people believe that Ring of Honor is overshadowed too much by New Japan. I've been sometimes, I think, critical, I will admit to that, sometimes as far as Ring of Honor, like really, you know, I don't know, I don't want to say stepping out of the shadow of New Japan, but making sure that New Japan does not overshadow them too much. And how do you feel about that as a talent? Because that is, I know, a criticism. I'm not the only person that has felt this way. How do you feel as an ROH talent? How do you guys feel with so many people that, again, maybe look at ROH and New Japan as interchangeable and forget that ROH is its own strong brand?
Yeah, you know, and I think some of that stems from the fact that, you know, a lot of the main Ring of Honor guys are also main New Japan guys. So you kind of have a bit of that crossover, but then, you know, within New Japan, you have, you know, their guys that are just exclusively their guys as well. So, you know, I can see how that does happen. I really think this year things will start to shift a bit. You know, as soon as we get launched on our mobile platforms with Ring of Honor, I think that's going to help a ton. I think they just launched the Android apps today. And hopefully, you know, the iOS apps and stuff like that will be out soon. But I really think, you know, in 2018, that's how wrestling fans watch stuff. You know, they don't tune into their local TV station at midnight and watch wrestling, I don't think. I think, you know, this is how people consume stuff now. And I think once we have those things out, that's going to be a huge boost for Ring of Honor to get people, you know, watching that weekly television show more and more often, I think. And once they do that, I think Ring of Honor steps up a lot in their eyes.
Absolutely, and the bottom line is you're going into this weekend, and you're in the biggest show in company history, and it is, you know, loaded for bear, and you're one of the guys they're banking on, obviously, and you've been a main player in the story of the Golden Lovers, and you're facing off against Kota Ibushi, and you know what, it's a big match that's going to have a lot of eyeballs on it, and you're probably pretty used to that at this point, but do you look at this, is this your highest profile singles match to date? Is that how you would look at this, or am I overselling it a little bit?
You know, this is up there, this is top five. You know, I don't know about number one, but this is definitely one of the bigger ones of my career. This is definitely will be one of the most watched matches I've had in my career, for sure. You know, over 5,000 people in attendance, and God knows how many watching at home, and especially with all eyes, you know, on wrestling this time of year. So this one for me is really big, for sure.
How do you prepare for something like this, and how is your schedule working as far as, you know, just kind of keeping everything together with you being so busy, you know, recently? How do you try to balance things with getting home, and where is home for you right now?
Yeah, I'm living in Greensboro, North Carolina now. And it's, these past few months have been wild, and I've just kind of filled out my calendar for most of the rest of the year, and I'm looking at it, and I'm realizing that for most of the rest of the year, you know, I'm not a WWE guy. I'm kind of doing my own thing, but I'm realizing that I'm only home one or two, sometimes 3 days a week for the next 4 or 5 months. And to know that, you know, that's kind of without the machine, that's a great thing. So I'm getting a lot of work now, and it's kind of still fairly new to me. I've only been this busy for the past year. But, you know, again, like I said, you just kind of have to take things one day, 1 week at a time, and, you know, take them as they come. You've got to keep working hard. You know, these travel days when you're, you know, you've got sometimes a 24-hour travel day when you go into Japan and back. You know, you just got to keep grinding.
Now, I'm an old man, so I'm going to put you in the millennial category of this generation, being, well, you're 26, being a young guy.
Yeah, 26.
You know, in the internet age, you know, I'm sure you are well seasoned in it, being in the business and everything, but in the internet age, it is very difficult in the age of social media for you to catch a break. And it's very easy for someone to get a lot of play and good wishes and well wishes, but when things are obnoxious and trolling, they are the worst. And wrestlers, of course, have to suffer with this. And how is it trying to survive? Because I'm sure you've talked to older wrestlers who are new to having to deal with stuff like this, and you are you seasoned to having to deal with the slings and arrows and the nonsense that takes place on social media? Or is it even something that you even mess with at all, or do you just kind of blow it off? How do you feel about just having eyeballs on you and always being commented on, whether it's, you know, worth it or not?
Yeah, you know, it's there's a constant stream of feedback for all of us who are wrestlers, you know, and some of it's positive, some of it's negative. But I like to think the better you're doing in your career, the more negative feedback you'll get, just the more feedback in general. So, you know, when I get that stuff, a lot of times I just look at it and say, hey, that's just one more person who is paying attention to what I'm doing and helping put food on my table. That's the way you kind of have to look at it. Otherwise, you'll drive yourself crazy, I think.
Now, you're from down here. Are you really from Aaron's Creek, Virginia?
Yeah, Aaron's Creek, Virginia, real small small place, southern Virginia, middle of nowhere.
That's deep,
really.
Yeah. It's NASCAR territory down there.
Yeah.
Now, when you were coming up, were you trained by Jimmy Valle? Did you go to his school, or how did that work as far as you breaking in?
Yeah, you know, I got into wrestling when I was 15. I started training. Wow. And, you know, then I was several hours away from Jimmy. I didn't know Jimmy at this point. But there were a couple of guys who were local guys, you know, doing these shows in armories and high school gyms and stuff like that, who kind of took me under their wing. They, you know, I would ride with them to, you know, 3 or 4 hours of these shows, help them set up the ring. We would train before the show started. You know, the show would go on. I wasn't wrestling at the time. And then we'd pack up and go home. And I did that for 6 or 8 months before, you know, I started wrestling. But, you know, I started wrestling my sophomore, junior year of high school. So, you know, I had been wrestling quite a while before I went up to Jimmy Valiant's camp. I went to college at Virginia Tech, and then his school is maybe 20 or 30 minutes from there. And, you know, I kind of found that out and went up there and started training with him a little bit. But he was, he's at this point a little bit more hands-off, you know, in the actual physical training. He's got guys that, you know, he trained in years past to kind of run things, you know, as far as in-ring stuff for him. And those were guys who I'd been wrestling every weekend for the previous couple of years. So, you know, I guess I didn't go through his full training school. I'm an honorary graduate. I went and trained some. And, you know, when I was younger, I felt like I needed to be able to say that somebody with some kind of name trained me. So that's where a lot of that came from. But honestly, I got most of my training just, you know, every week wrestling better and better people.
Well, see, it's probably a pretty good trade-off for him, too, because then he can put your name up on the website and on the wall, too. Hey, I trained Hangman Adam Page.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And, that's a good thing for both of us. You know, at the time, that helped me be able to say that, yeah, you know, Jimmy Valiant trained me, which it was a plus at that time, or still is, I guess. And I guess it's a plus for him, too. You know, the bigger my career gets, you know, the more of a payoff that is for him as well.
Absolutely, Adam, and hey, you know, we're pushing up against the break right now, but we will be back to talk a little bit more with you about what's going to be taking place this weekend. You and Kota Ibushi, as well as you and Kenny Omega, which is also now on the horizon as well. So everybody, we will be back. This is Wrestling Observer Live.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, back on the show. Mike Sempervivi here with you, Wrestling Observer Live, joined by the Hangman Adam Page. Only a couple more minutes to go here, but Adam, May 3rd, Wrestling Dontaku, it has been announced in Fukuoka. You and Kenny Omega on May 3rd. How'd you feel about that matchup?
Yeah, man, this one's big because it's something I've wanted, you know, for a long time. You know, something I've obviously wanted to do long before there was a personal reason to do so. But now it has become, yeah, kind of personal. So I'm super excited about this one.
And obviously coming up this weekend, you and Kota Ibushi, anything for people to look out for in this one?
Moonsaults. Yeah, be on the lookout for moonsaults. I don't know if the commission will be in the building. I assume so. So we'll see how that goes.
At least you got everybody. You know, everybody else is going to be working these shows leading up into this. We'll find out who gets arrested or fined, I guess, by the time Saturday night rolls around, right?
Yeah. Let me know. Let me know how things go, so I'll know what to be ready for.
You got it, my man. Hey, thank you. Hey, Hangman Adam Page, Kota Ibushi, Super Card of Honor 12, Saturday night. This show is absolutely loaded. Just Cody against Kenny Omega, ROH World Title, Dalton Castle against Marty Scurll, the Briscoes against Jay Lethal and Hiroshi Tanahashi for the ROH World Tag Team Titles, ROH Six-Man Tag Team Championship match, SoCal Uncensored against the Young Bucks and Flip Gordon, Kenny King and Silas Young, Last Man Standing for the ROH TV title, Punishment Martinez and Ishii, Sumi Sakai and Tenille Dashwood, Mayu Iwatani and Kelly Klein, Jonathan Gresham and Chuck E.T. Yeah, it's loaded up and ready to go. So I want to thank the Hangman Adam Page for joining me. I want to thank Josh Nason for jumping on and talking about Conor McGregor and all of you for calling and listening in. We will be back with you tomorrow. I'm Mike Sempervivi. This is Wrestling Observer Live.